Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome on back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Today, I've got brand new frontline updates for you guys coming from Ukraine and coming from Gaza. I got brand new war footage and all sorts of other stuff. Got an update on what's going on with Putin and Zelensky, whether or not we're going to actually see a deal anytime soon. All sorts of beautiful things are coming your guys' way. So I hope you guys are ready for it, and I hope you guys are ready for an amazing show. Before we kick this sucker off, and as I wait on everybody to slowly roll in here, I'm going to play this video by Ryan Macbeth. He actually, you know what, I got to give this man some props.
And that's what hit me hardest on this trip. You know, we talk about Israel like it's this abstract news story, but when you're standing there looking at 2,000-year-old coins, shaking hands with people, with Muslims who are just trying to live, you realize this isn't an academic debate. This is survival. History doesn't lie. Jews have been in this land for thousands of years. They're not going anywhere. So yeah, I was wrong about Israel. I thought this was Northern Ireland with a really different accent, but it's not. In Northern Ireland, both sides could live together in peace once the guns went quiet. Here, one side has been taught from childhood that the other side shouldn't exist. And that's a problem you can't solve with a treaty, a UN map, or a feel-good slogan. Maybe that makes me a Zionist, whatever the hell that word means, or a shill, or whatever label people want to throw at me, but it doesn't make me a liar. I do not support Israel, I support democracies. And I do so because every American should support democracy, especially against authoritarianism. And they should support these democracies, whether they're in Ukraine, whether they're in Taiwan, or whether they're in Israel. The truth is simple, that Israel is not perfect. No country is, but it is a democracy. It is diverse, it is fighting for its life, and that's a truth that I can't ignore. And if you...
Oh my goodness. Michael LTNV, why are you having a bad day, bud? You know what, Ryan? Listen, Michael, if you were having a bad day, you're about to have a very much better day. That I can promise you. I'm about to show you a lot of things exploding. I'm about to show you a lot of dead Russians. You're about to see a lot of really good things that should just really perk your spirits as an American or patriot, wherever you are in this world. First, before we even leave the United States and go overseas, I'm actually going to show you an explosion that took place today in Wilmington, North Carolina. Check this crap out.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
Now, oh, I see God. You guys asking what's going on with the cartels. I'll make sure I give you guys an update on that whole situation tomorrow because, yeah, yesterday we ended up sending two destroyers and a submarine down to go start dealing with some of the cartels, and it's going to be interdicting some of their boats and operations and stuff like that coming out of Venezuela. And we'll go over that here tomorrow, I think would be like a very good time. I'm just kind of like waiting for him to truck all the happy way down there. Now, this explosion that occurred today over inside of North Carolina is because somebody drove their car off the road, hit a freaking gas pipeline. Reportedly, the truck actually entered the building at the same time. Dude ends up fleeing on foot, and then the building fills with gas, and then it freaking explodes. So that's what you're witnessing there. I actually made this post. It's not Lowe's. Yeah, Lowe's is having a fire sale. Actually, I had somebody comment because I posted about this on X, and somebody came over and was like, oh my God, I actually drive by that every single day. That's insane. Like, yep, it is insane. I don't understand why we're having so many dang things blowing up over here in the United States of America. But now that we got this show like starting to move along a little bit, I'm going to take you guys over to Ukraine. And before we actually even start talking about it, I want to show you guys this. I gave you guys some updated figures the other day on what it would cost Russia to take everything east of the Dnipro River from where they currently lie. It was a little over 4.9 million by my estimates. UK intelligence ends up giving an update. Check this crap out. The amount of freaking like Russians it would take just to like take additional terrain over there ended up coming out at like 2 million more just to like finish taking all of these like surrounding oblasts and stuff like that that they're at. Like they just literally don't have. Based on Russia's average daily casualty rate in 2025 so far, as reported by Ukrainian General Staff, 4.4 more years of war would lead to approximately 1.93 million further Russian casualties killed or wounded. This is in addition to the approximate 1 million casualties Russia has already likely sustained while launching the full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022, including around 250,000 killed or missing, presumably dead. Russia announced the illegal and erroneous annexation of the four internationally recognized Ukrainian oblasts, including those areas under Ukrainian control in September 22. Russia would just get its dang teeth kicked in over the next couple of years. They don't have millions of freaking troops to just continue to throw out the line. And it's not just me that's saying that anymore. No, no, no. It is quite literally international intelligence agencies, which I thought is pretty cool that they're actually coming out with those numbers on their own. If you guys don't think that stuff like that is actually happening, I want to introduce you to this next video that I have coming up of a Russian tank firing at point blank range, or excuse me, a Ukrainian tank firing at point blank range, taking out a Russian position. Scott Bevin's coming in, giving out a Speak the Truth membership, and CJ, 21 months. Stay blessed, my friend. Стей блест.
Двойка виїхала на тих підерів. Зараз вже там, блядь, напрямую.
На
метрі стоїть цей підвал від ствола танка, блядь. Я їбу, нахуй, реально. Це просто...
Здавайтесь, сука, да. Я їбу.
I wish I could find the video that was like shared with me yesterday by Texas, and it had like a freaking Ukrainian tank that rolled right up to a Russian freaking like trench system and like the main gun, and like there's like two Russians that dive into it, and then the main gun goes off and it like blasts right over the freaking top of it, and then like clearly that's gonna knock the guys out. I mean, the muzzle was like this far off the freaking trench, and the round had to have gone like right over freaking top of it. And then all of a sudden, like immediately following that, you ended up having a second round go off and just completely and totally just demolishing the sucker. Frontline over inside of, I believe we're going over into Kupiansk. I believe that's where this one ends up coming out, of a Russian freaking position that ended up getting destroyed by a drone.
Destroyed, man.
That's how bad your life sucks. Your roof's on fire and you don't want to rebuild it, so you knock over a bunch of crap just to try to get up there with your tiny little fire extinguisher. This dude is going to run out. He is going to run out of whatever is in that can before that thing burnt down. I promise you, if that's the only fire extinguisher he had, that whole sucker's done. Like at that point, I don't even know like what you're trying to do with damage control on that one. It just really makes absolutely no sense. Russians ended up killing an 11-year-old boy with artillery when he was out walking down the street today over inside of Kherson as well, or over in the Kherson region. Child ended up sustaining a blast injury, concussion, shoulder wound, and he went up over into the hospital.
Де перебував дитина, який в школі?
Дитина ось он, де стоїть ця машина. Ось там, якраз напротив вибухало, це де гори, якраз там вибухнуло. Як він остався цілий, я дивляю. Я вискочив, він лежить, кричить. Підбіг, я забрав, хату завели, перев'язали, крові.
Потім батько бігав, шукав, і батько все, і забрали, скоро приїхали,
шукав. Сильно там поранило, не знаю, що там з рукою буде. Ну, пощупав так, ноги цілі, крові, все.
Тільки рука. А хлопець сильно кричав. Чую вихід, забігаю другий, потім третій. Коли вийшов, то вже ну, дитини не було, а він вже був тут.
Дитину визвали на прививку, дитина пішла в лікарню, йшла звідти старшою.
This is not an isolated incident, ladies and gentlemen. This crap is happening on a daily basis over inside of Ukraine. Like random Russian munitions smashing into freaking civilians, taking out kids, and there's no rhyme or reason for it. You know, like everybody wants to like whine and complain about what's taking place over inside Gaza. And meanwhile, you have actual atrocities that are going off on a daily flipping basis inside of Ukraine. And I don't know if it's because they're white people. Nobody gives a crap when white people get killed. Maybe that's it. Or I don't know, maybe if it's because they're not, you know, Jews on the other side, they're Russians that are doing it. I have no idea. But either way, it's absolutely disturbing that this stuff is going on at such an alarming rate. I've been talking about it for like the last month straight, and I decided to start diving just a little bit deeper into some of these situations, bring it like a little bit more light to it, because it's getting really, really, really freaking old. Here is a library that ended up getting completely and totally demolished in the very same region.
Ось так виглядає зараз одна з наших бібліотек. Російська армія, яка воює з бібліотеками. Виникла пожежа. Це те, що залишилось від книжок. Але нічого, все відбудуємо.
Look at this. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. An entire library completely and totally wrecked. Don't even know how many people ended up dying in this freaking strike, but it's just absurd to me that this is just a daily occurrence over there, and it just continues to get worse and worse and worse. And if that's not bad enough, I know that one of the things that Trump had talked about, was making sure that the Ukrainian kids actually get turned back over to Ukraine. We talked about it last night, some of the human trafficking and things like that that had occurred. So with that being said, I introduce to you this press conference where Putin and some blonde lady are really happy about child trafficking.
Самой первой нашей гуманитарной поездки в Херсонскую область мы там нашли свою дочку. Сейчас она уже в семье, пока что под опекой. Но мы над этим работаем, но для нас это солнышко наше. Это, понимаете, в нашу семью вернулся...
Сколько ей?
4 годика. В нашу семью вернулся кусочек счастья.
4 years old. She said the kid's 4 years old, if I heard that right. Meaning... She was what, a year old? Just a freaking infant? Like, that's not adoption. That's kidnapping. To be perfectly clear. Like, she's talking about kidnapping a child as a baby and then raising it as her own. As if the other parents don't matter, as if, like, nationality of that child doesn't matter, as if none of that crap matters. Lady literally stole a child and bragged about it to Putin. And Putin's all happy about it. And the lady's all happy about it. Probably one of the most disgusting things I think I've seen in a really, really dang long time. Pete Turner, sir, welcome to becoming a true supporter. My friend, Tom Bones, wife's back home. All tests came back good. Thank God. Slightly, she has high cholesterol and blood pressure and the flu. That sucks, man. Well, hopefully you guys are able to get that under control. Wood chipper. Yeah. Wood chipper. Straight wood chipper. And you're right. It is how they think. And it's not acceptable. And it's not okay. And yet, again, world kind of turns a blind eye to this stuff. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about all of these children being abducted. They'll whine and complain about the, like, consensual migration of Palestinians out of freaking Gaza. But this woman, is it because she's blonde? I don't know. A blonde woman, it's okay for her to take a freaking kid and run off with it? No, it's not. Brand new freaking baby, man. Brand new baby. Running off with it. Brand new baby. Over in Donetsk, things are falling apart for the Russians. I ended up talking to you guys and giving you a little bit of a frontline update. We'll go over there and take a look at it in a second. But Donetsk, we talked about them having a major water issue, and that's not, like, really working. Well, guess what else isn't working over in Donetsk? The entire infrastructure is collapsing. When I say that, like, Putin's got a lot on his frickin' plate, he's got a lot on his plate. He definitely didn't think this crap through. Not even remotely close. Why do I say that? Because right here is a collapse of their emergency services.
Вызываем скорую помощь. Ну как в рельсе?
They answered and hung up on him. Did you guys hear that? Did you?
Ну как в рельсе?
You gotta be kidding me.
Вот знаешь, как быть.
Сейчас минута будет.
Да.
А я так висела 5 минут.
Скорая помощь.
И то они не ответили.
Донецкая Народная Республика.
Ну, в итоге мы так и не дозвонились.
Like, could you imagine dialing emergency services and just getting hung up on, or just having the phone ring for flipping like hours straight before anybody chooses to answer it? Because that's pretty much what happened. I told you guys about the railroad strike that ended up happening over inside of Zaporizhia Oblast, and that's 100% true. And we got the drone footage of it. And right here, you guys can see like the train itself that's on fire. And they ended up smashing the crap out of this thing. I mean, it looks like parts of the train and this particular portion, like of the image that's being shared, has been spilled over. And then this one's obviously on fire. But yeah, I mean, I've got a video of that sucker too. You guys want to see it? I know you want to see it. Don't act like you don't want to see it. Here you have the incoming drone going towards the wounded train. It's on a mission to go start attacking and impact. And here comes another drone going over towards the train. Ladies and gentlemen, when I'm telling you, yeah, I know, we're subject to bot attacks all of the time. It's like people don't like hearing what's actually going out there. The bots are extremely busy tonight, believe me. Yeah, I know. So mods, go ahead and start blocking people. But it is absolutely ridiculous to me that people look at this and say that like Russian logistics are working just fine, that they can keep the fight, that it's Ukraine that's having supply issues, that Ukraine's got all the freaking problems. There's a major railroad track that supplies a major freaking like headquarters element outside of Tokmak. It's absolutely insane the amount of crap that Ukraine continues to destroy on a daily basis. Every single one of these strikes continues to diminish inch by inch the Russians' military capabilities. They don't have the fuel. They can't operate the freaking tanks. These are what's known as soft targets. And when you're being faced by a much superior force as the Russians have, right, superior in numbers, it makes no sense to take them head on. Instead, you go after their supply lines. And Ukraine has been smashing their supply lines over and over over again for like the last freaking, like, I don't know, 6+ months straight. I mean, they just continue to go after him. Pete Turner, been on a channel since war started. I talked to you about the Rue and truck years ago, just renewed as I couldn't afford after losing our house in fire. Oh, dude. Oh, that sucks, man. Oh, brother. Yeah, I remember you. I remember talking, dude, Peter. I don't know if for those of you that don't know what Peter Turner is talking about right here. This man told a story when I used to do call-ins like to the show, and Peter Turner like had called in and I was like, oh, Ozzy, cool, man. And then he tells me about like him like slowing down for a freaking kangaroo jumping out in the middle of the road or something. And he opens his door and basically gets in a boxing match with a dang kangaroo. Like, you want to talk about going to war on a daily basis? Like, ask Peter Turner about it, man. Because that's exactly what's happening. Love conquers all. You know, I really wish I could say that love conquers all, but unfortunately, sometimes you just got to shoot a main gun tank round into a building.
Двойка виїхала на тих підерів. Зараз вже там, блядь, напрямую. На метрі стоїть цей підвал від ствола танка, блядь. Я їбу нахуй. Це просто...
Здавайтесь, сука, да? Я
їбу. That's a whole lot of love right there that just went into that building. I mean, you're right. Love does conquer all sometimes. Love absolutely conquers all. And it's nice to see guys like Justin King in the comments section. Everybody else has been around for that long that actually remembers when I used to do the freaking phone call-ins. Maybe I ought to get back to doing that. You know what I mean? Maybe I just get back to doing that. I don't know. I do love having the trolls and everybody that ends up coming on when I end up doing it. But hey, here, you guys want to see a Russian get a drone fired up his butt? I mean, That video is not nearly as good as the one where, like, the dude's got his pants down and the drone comes in through, like, the window and, like, chases him around with his, like, pants down. Like, literally, they fly the drone up that dude's butt. That one was a classic. Like, absolute classic. And it was really unique music. I really enjoyed the music on that one. Here's a drone taking out a freaking artillery piece just because, you know, we can. I can't do it, man. I can't do all the freaking crazy upbeat music. There's a guy running for his life. I'm pretty sure I've got another drone video coming up here in just a sec where you end up seeing like an entire van of Russians that are like running for their lives. It's like a drone weaving its way through the woods and then it just comes over and like smashes straight into this dude. Sky God coming in, giving out 20 Speak the Truth memberships. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Really, really do appreciate that. Drone warfare. It's a very real thing over on the front lines of Ukraine. And what you can see right there along that road, you can see the nets that are supposedly, you know, there to defend against drones. But the problem is that when you're dealing with fiber optics and you're dealing with such long range fiber optics like the Ukrainians are currently employing, well, they can just kind of fly right underneath it and go in and start shoving drones up Russians' butts. And it's also amazing when you end up watching these videos. Look at the variation of vehicles that these guys are using up over on the front line. Not the best, right? Not the best. So Russians, they've got some issues. Oh, here it is. Here's the one I was talking about. Again, can't do the music, but yeah, here you see the Russian vehicle, and maybe it detects the drones coming, and they all just start squirming. But it's like a freaking van, dude, like a refitted van. That dude takes it straight to the dome, like straight to the dome. There's no getting around that one. Bullet magnet coming in with 20. He says, "Semper Fi, Matt. I like the grape crayons." Hell yeah, brother. Everybody likes grape crayons. You got to eat all of them. Yeah. I mean, I kind of wish they got in front of them a little bit more, but there had to have been, like, if you watch right here at the last frame of the video, there's still like two or three people at least trying to climb out of the back of this freaking van. Like, you see them scattering like freaking flies, and then you figure their van's probably out of commission. And if the van's not out of commission, look at that. You got another dude's head right here. There's probably another dude in the back. Freaking TC or the person riding shotgun still hanging out in there. Farman, becoming a true supporter. Good to have you in the house, my friend. So, yeah, I mean, they're just getting crushed with these drones up over on the front line. And this is why the Russian casualty figures are so high, because they can't creep up behind these front lines without getting spotted by drones. I mean, they do. They move in and out, obviously, because the war's still going on, right? But, I mean, it's a daily occurrence for the Russians. And I tried to explain this on that panel that I had the other day. You got farm fields over there that's just completely covered in like fiber optics. There was a really good video that came out a couple months ago of somebody that was like walking through one of the fields over there, and they're just dragging these fiber optic cables with their feet through the field. And it just goes to show you like how many of these dang things actually go off. And it's not just fiber optics either, ladies and gentlemen. They've also got issues with these. Stilly music, man. Shahed drones. So you're about to see a bunch of Ukrainian helicopters chasing down these Shahed drones. Now, aircraft are a little bit, you know, better equipped to go after these dang things. And helicopters seem to be the trick, both in Israel and over in Ukraine, for taking down these drones. Matt, what's your opinion in this war going to, is this war going to end? Yeah, the war's got to end eventually, right? It's not going to go on forever. How do I think it's going to end? That's a very good question. We'll talk about that here in just a sec, because it looks like Putin's actually coming to the negotiation table. I told you guys this morning that Switzerland had given Russia an invite. So did Belarus. So did a couple other countries as well, for them to be able to sit down and talk. Trump, in an interview just like 2 hours ago on the news, came out and said that he wanted to see Zelensky and Putin sit down to see if they could even come to an agreement. And then if they could, then he's going to come in and he's going to close the deal, right? Because, you know, Trump saved the day on deal closing. But is it going to end? Probably not, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know if Putin is fully aware of the different defense guarantees. You know, we call them security guarantees, but really they're like promises to help defend that those other European leaders have promised. And it's going to end up being members of NATO. And that's going to piss Putin off. And I really don't see Putin being happy about NATO forces defending Ukraine should he decide to go after it. He was perfectly okay with them giving up their nuclear weapons, perfectly okay with meddling in their elections, perfectly okay with invading Crimea, perfectly okay with invading the Donbass, perfectly okay with a full-on invasion of Ukraine when they weren't actually like being allowed to get, you know, any sort of partnerships. Now that those are on the table, I don't think Putin's going to come around. I think Putin's going to say absolutely not. And I think Zelensky is going to have some really, really, really big concessions that he wants to see made. It's one thing when we sit down and we have leaders from the EU, when we have other leaders from around the world that are saying, listen, you should give up X, Y, and Z. But what Zelensky says behind closed doors, when he got back into country and he said, this is what we talked about and this is what they're currently offering. When he got back over there and he starts talking to the policymakers and they start telling him, yeah, we're not doing that. We're not giving that up. Yeah, we're not doing that. We're not giving that up. Yep, we're not doing that. We're not giving that up. We have all of these weapons in the pipeline. And if Russia wants to play this game, we'll just sit back and keep playing freaking whack-a-mole. And so is there a potential for it to end? Sure. But it would take a serious change of heart on Putin's behalf in order to make that right. Like a serious change of heart. I don't think Putin's going to come around to that extent. And I think anybody that thinks that Putin's going to be okay with the United States and other members of the EU and NATO countries that are going to be willing to come to Ukraine's defense as a portion for this peace agreement has lost their dang mind. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Putin does have a big change of heart, but it certainly doesn't seem that way. Putin is just barely inched into these frickin' talks, and he's not even really acknowledging right now that they're even going to take place. I just want to throw that out there for everybody. And so if it is happening, it's happening like on the backside. Is Rob doing okay? Yes, Peter. I actually just talked to Rob yesterday. He's having a good time as a Leo, like a very, very good time as a Leo. Yeah, he is. He's doing good. I want to shift your guys' focus from Ukraine and take you over into Gaza. You guys all remember the Bibas family and the Bibas kids. This is a statement that ended up coming out from Yarden Bibas. It's a small part of my closure occurred today. Thank you to the IDF forces, the Shin Bet, and anybody that took part in eliminating one of the terrorists who kidnapped me on October 7th. Thanks to them, he can no longer hurt anyone. Please take a look at, or please look after yourselves, heroes. I'm waiting for closure on the return of my friends, David and Ariel, and the other 48 hostages. So that'll be nice. And who was the turd that ended up getting eliminated? This guy right here. Apparently, he's a lawyer over inside of Gaza. Apparently, he was a lawyer over inside of Gaza. And he got schwacked today. Not a lot of information has really been like released about how the entire situation ended up going down. But we do know that it ended up going down. Actually have a new map frontline update for you guys that is allegedly geolocated, confirmed, and kind of current, and everything in yellow that you guys can see up on this map over inside of Gaza is currently where Israel's at. Now, they haven't been releasing any frontline updates, so all of this is done by, like, OSINT nerds such as myself. And the very interesting part about this map and what's coming up is Israel is looking at drawing up, the Times of Israel is saying 60,000 reservists. I've seen figures as high as 100,000 for the assault on Gaza City. I'm going to say that again. Israel is currently planning a major assault on Gaza City to basically end this entire thing. And it's supposed to be going down no later than September. You're saying within the next month, it's going to go down. I saw people say a couple days. I saw people say a month. I've seen people say early September. But all of the reports that are coming out are basically no later than September. 100,000, 60 to 100,000 reservists to get called up for this operation. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a buttload when you already figure how many freaking like IDF troops are actually inside Gaza. And when you take a look at Gaza City and where it's at, man, they've got a long row ahead. Now, what they were saying, and it's up here, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, in case I forgot to mention that, right? What they said was that they're going to be issuing the final evacuation notices out to these people. Before they end up doing that, down in the south, in the Israeli-controlled areas down here in the south, they're going to be standing and popping up a bunch of freaking tents. So a ton of tents are supposed to go up down here. They're supposed to give warnings for everybody up here to get the heck out of Dodge. So I'm taking it they're going to take the coastal road all the way down. And when they do that, when they send that out, that's it. It's game over. They're going to go in and they're going to crush that. Now, that amount of troops, just FYI, to give you an idea for how large this area is, you could basically have a freaking soldier standing on every flipping street corner out there. Every flipping street corner is going to end up being lined. They are going to go house to house. And this is going to be one of those massive freaking battles that's going to take place over inside of Gaza. That's not going to be the end of it, though. As I told you guys, what you're actually looking at here is a very long and drawn out conflict going on years. Insurgency is going to last. But the real question is what are they going to do with all of these people over inside of Gaza when they end up doing that? Because they're going to get shoved into those humanitarian tents. And we've already seen Gazans flying into freaking airports over, like, what the hell is her dang name? I forget her name. Amy Mech reporting that you have Palestinians and Gazans that are now landing inside of Texas. There's reports of them over in Australia. You've already been thrown out of freaking France. I don't know what the hell they're going to do with all these people. The 100,000 that made their way up over into Egypt are apparently being treated like crap. They were given a 3-month visa, like a 3-month like tourist visa, and that's about it. I mean, it's insane to me. But yeah, I mean, the defense minister ended up meeting up with the senior officers and things like that, along with like officials from Shin Bet, and that they are on track. They're absolutely on track to get that operation underway. And it's going to be very, very freaking concerning. Again, 50,000 to 100,000 troops that are end up going in that area. When we start talking about the humanitarian aid situation and things that are taking place over inside of Gaza, humanitarian aid situation is absolutely out of control. Check out these figures. This is what COGAT ended up putting out today alongside of UN figures. Here you can see COGAT's distribution dashboard saying that they ended up giving out 182,000 tons of HA to the UN. Trucks. They said that 9,165 trucks by the UN actually came down and picked up freaking humanitarian aid and sent it into Gaza. And the new figures, by the way, are way worse than we would imagine. 93.5% of the humanitarian aid that's picked up by the UN ends up getting looted over inside of Gaza. But in addition to that, it certainly would appear like the UN is underreporting their numbers inside of Gaza. Oh my God. This is Marley. Going to bed with spewing this nonsense is concerning. Oh no. You'll be all right, brother. I think you'll be okay. I got a feeling you're going to be okay. Don't worry about it, man. You'll be all right. Here's some audio footage of a Gazan telling the IDF that Hamas is shooting people outside the humanitarian aid sites.
لا فيش 30 فيش 30 ولا 50 في اصابات الجيش صار يطخ الجيش لما انضرب عليه هون بس اللي كان يطخوا الحماس بدهم مش يخلوا الناس تاخذ مساعدات بدهم يفشلوا المخطط يعني هم عايشين على السلاح وعلى التسول
يعني حماس هون القوص على الناس؟
طبعا مش اول مره مش اول مره بدهم يفشلوا المخطط عشان المساعدات تصير لهم بدهم يسرقوا كانوا عايشين على مساعدات بيع وشغل وفلوس واكل وشرب لجمعيتهم ولقياداتهم اليوم افلسوا نهائي الناس متفهمه وشافت وكانت مبيت لانه شافوا منهم جمعيتهم في المنطقه حتى هم طالبوا اقول لك لازم المساعدات تخش عبر الامم المتحده عبر المؤسسات الدوليه زي زمان عشان يسرقوها
الله بعين الله بعين ضرب الزهرين يخربوا ويعطلوا على الناس بدل ما يوافقوا ويعطوا ويساعدوا الناس
لا والله مجرمين يا والله مجرمين والله دواعش اسمع اقسم بالله هذول جماعة حيوانات بشرية مش بشر ما عندهم ما بيحلوا على شعبهم اطلاقهم.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly why you don't trust the numbers that are coming out of the Gaza Health Ministry. It was a very long conversation that ended up taking place with a GHF official and Channel 4 News. And what ended up happening, in my own opinion, was flipping disgusting. Channel 4 News is quoting the Gaza Health Ministry, claiming over 1,200 people have died outside of these Gaza humanitarian aid sites. Over 1,200 people, he said. That number hasn't been verified by anybody. And the guy sitting there stating that it's a fact. Literally stating that it's a fact. And you know what? Like, I wasn't going to actually play it, but I feel like the guy just needs, like, I don't know. The dude needs a freaking raise or a promotion, because what's taking place over in Gaza is this, okay? I told you guys that all of the humanitarian aid's getting stolen, and it's Hamas that is literally inducing famine over there right now. So not only do you have Hamas stealing all the humanitarian aid, like, very, very clearly, they released a video of, I forget how many trucks it is, dude, but it's insane. It's like in the hundreds of the amount of trucks that, like, ended up getting, like, covered in these videos. Oh, good. We have a Tide Pod Eater in the chat. Is he riding in squiggly, or is he here in the United States of America enjoying the freedom that other people have fought for that are trying to tell him that, you know, these people are evil and that they need to be destroyed? And he just hates that thought because he's been riding the freaking party line so long, he can't go back even when presented with clear facts and evidence. Is that who it is? Or a different Channel 4 from the guy who interviewed Hunter Biden? Oh, dude, you want to see it? I'll show it to you. You guys want to see it? You know what? Hell with it. I'll show it to you. Why not? We got time. No freaking worries. You guys want to see this freaking madness? I'll show you. I'll show you the madness. I'll show you the dang madness.
Big aid agencies in the world are extremely critical of GHF, as you know, and accuse you of being accessories to the killing that is going on near your sites. You are coordinating very closely with the Israelis. You just admitted that. So why is this killing going on?
Yeah, I mean, I stated it. I'm not admitting anything. The way you're asking these questions, clearly you have an agenda. But
I have no agenda other than trying to find out what GHF is really about.
Well, as I said, we work with the IDF to deconflict outside our sites. And of course, they're waging a war. So the UN also works with the IDF and is also approved by the government of Israel to be able to operate inside Gaza. And so we are glad that the United Nations is trying to move more trucks further into Gaza. We're concerned about the safety and security that you of their operation, because you can see the casualties that are happening. And I do think it's interesting that you bring up the other NGOs that are highly critical of us. You may not know this because it wasn't widely reported, but at Nasser Hospital, a busload of our local workers, many of whom now sleep and live on site because of the Hamas threat. A busload was murdered on video. 9 of them were murdered, and the 20 living survivors were dropped at Nasser Hospital, where Doctors Without Borders is, and they were refused treatment. They weren't allowed in, and they were left to die in the courtyard. So when you're asking us these questions, I think you should be asking the NGOs what their agenda is, because we will work with any NGO to provide more aid. We believe more aid to the people of Gaza is the answer to many of these problems that you're bringing up, and we would love to work with them. We have had diversion.
I'd be very interested to know more about that incident, and if you have any video evidence, then please send it to us and we'll pursue it.
Sure.
I haven't seen him pursue anything on that, by the way.
The problem is not so much the amount, although that obviously people are starving. It's the way you're doing it. That's what people are criticizing. It is militarized. You know, you've got barbed wire or razor wire. You've got armed guards who end up shooting at people. And you've got the IDF nearby who are definitely shooting at people and killing them. You know,
a
GHF distribution site is like the bait in a trap. Is what the allegation is. And you're luring people in, and then they're getting killed.
Yes, the Gazans are that retarded that for 3 months straight now, they have just been showing up like freaking mindless lemmings, just waiting to get gunned down by GHF and the IDF, all in the hopes and promises that they're going to get humanitarian aid. Devil You Don't Know says, what would that Channel 4 anchor say if he was asked, would you count Gazans killed by Hamas outside GHF distro centers? Would you blame GHF for them? Yeah, probably. Wait for it. This actually gets really, really good. Like I said, this man right here deserves a dang raise.
Yes, you're doing a good job carrying the water of Hamas, who says the same thing. That's what they are saying. And you are
just
incorrect.
Answer the question.
We have never shot.
Just answer the question.
We have never shot. What was the question?
Aren't you the bait in a trap in which...
No.
Over 1,200 people have been killed.
No, there have been zero casualties at our sites. We have never fired a weapon at anyone. And in fact, I will tell you, the
hundreds,
only casualties, the only
hundreds well, of you casualties said you wanted to near hear your sites.
Yes, you say you want information from me, but you've interrupted every single question.
No, because it's totally
the
untrue.
That I'm trying to give.
I mean, it's very, very misleading to say there have been no casualties at your sites. They may not be literally on your sites where the food is being given out, but the casualties are all near your sites where people are either approaching them or getting away having got food. So it's very misleading to say that.
Those are two different things, and you are being misleading by conflating that, and you keep interrupting me
I'm stating the fact. The facts are widely known now. The people go to your site, they pick up food.
Tell me the fact.
And either get shot dead going towards the food or leaving after they've got food. Now,
they
may not be literally on the site, but they are near the site. And the allegation from the aid agencies is that you have militarized your operation. You're working in conjunction with the IDF. And with your own armed guards. And therefore, you are effectively the base in a death trap.
Get him, Casey.
Yeah, so you keep repeating that over and over. We are not. And I would like to point out, are you trying to tell me that the United Nations have never worked with groups like ours or militarized and armed security personnel? Because that's also false. Congo, Haiti, Bosnia. This is the only place on planet Earth that the United Nations has a problem with the way we are distributing aid. The American military in Iraq delivered aid itself. And you didn't hear this kind of criticism of it. So, again, I would ask you,
do you condemn
what the agendas of these aid organs? Of course, every casualty is regrettable and a tragedy. And we push the IDF to deconflict.
Why is
the
IDF choosing them?
You'd have to ask the IDF that.
But you're the ones who are working with the IDF.
No.
You literally said they're in your offices.
They're in the operations center because the IDF also works with the United Nations. Have you asked them, have you had a representative from the United Nations on and asked them why there are casualties all over their convoys, all over social media? Why they can only get 6.5% of
this
their aid.
This is quite different, Mr. You know, this is systematic. Okay. It's happening all the time.
Systematic? No, it is not happening all the time.
Don Booz, question from the channel for the anchor. Why are you gay? I don't know, man. I don't know why he is. I have no idea. But it's kind of funny. I mean, this dude is just doing a bang-up job freaking crushing that anchor. Are you asking the UN why they're working with the IDF? That's why they're in the meeting, you freaking moron.
It is not. We have been operating for almost 3 months, and it does not happen all the time. And by the way, this is an active war zone. We are delivering food to Gazans in an active war zone. And if you look at social media, you can see the videos of our distributions where there are no deaths happening. And then you can look at the UN aid convoys where people are swarming, people are getting run over, and armed men are riding it through Gaza City, having diverted it while people starve.
Yeah,
before
the blockade,
nothing humanitarian.
People were not being
nothing
shot
humanitarian
near aid
about
sites.
That.
Before the Israeli blockade, people were not being shot at aid sites. So lorries were not being over.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Holy freaking cow. Yes, they were. Hamas had taken them over with freaking, like, taking over UNRWA. And you had people being bombed and killed. You had Hamas literally fighting and launching attacks from the aid sites. Like, this guy cannot be flipping serious.
Iran, people were not starving. Since the blockade, all of that has happened. You've taken over the operation.
Jerry Seabach, anchor may have gotten his information from Anthony Aguilar.
and the distribution of aid to a massively inadequate degree, which is why people are starving.
That's also not true.
And now people
are
getting shot.
It
is true.
We were never meant. No, we were never meant to replace the UN. The UN is operating.
The
they
UN
just
was stopped
execute.
By Israel.
Yes,
and lots of the agencies have been stopped. And you have been brought in.
No, not currently.
And you won't say what the truth is behind your organization.
That's false.
Because the suspicion
is
that you're an Israeli-American creation to enable the Israeli policy in Gaza.
If you'd let me get an answer out, maybe I could answer some of these questions. But that is false. The UN is allowed to operate now. And by the way, during the blockade, we pushed publicly. You can fact check this yourself, and so can your audience. Go to ghf.org or just Google it. We push publicly for the United Nations to also be allowed to operate. We have an invitation to collaborate with the UN. We agree that we are not doing enough.
You break all the rules of impartial aid delivery. You're not neutral and you're not impartial.
They're not working. He keeps bringing up they're working with the IDF. The UN is a freaking abomination at this point. 93.5% of their freaking food was getting stolen over the last month.
Working hand in glove with the Israelis,
like you're very
and helping
either,
them
sir.
Deliver their policy objectives.
Yes. Doesn't sound like you're very neutral either. You're doing a very good job communicating Hamas disinformation to me and asking these questions over and over. I have
Look,
told you there
make,
are no casualties.
You can make
our
personal attacks on journalists who ask awkward questions. It's fine. The facts are clear for everybody. More than 1,200 people are dead trying to access the aid that you're giving out. Your operation is not working.
Those casualties are not confirmed.
All say that you're getting
it
wrong.
I'm not denying that there are casualties. I'm not denying those casualties. These are experts that refuse medical aid to Gazans. We have refused no one medical aid. I have been there. I have seen us patch up kids with cuts and slashes and take care of pregnant women. And like I said, Samaritan's Purse is now distributing medical aid on our sites every single day. And we have never turned anyone
Samaritan's
away.
Samaritan's Purse is a very specific aid agency, and it's not... It's an American agency that's involved with religious groups in America. It's quite different.
Oh, Smokey Sergeant, the Day of Reckoning. Day of Reckoning is going to come. I promise you that. Day of Reckoning is going to come. Like, could you imagine being responsible? Like I said, 1.25 meals a day should be what the people in Gaza are receiving. Should be. Between GHF and the World Food Program, 1.25 meals a day. But because the World Food Program sucks at life so flipping bad, they're only getting like 0.73 meals a day delivered. Because that's what a massive freaking failure the UN's World Food Program is. And as the guy just described, treating children and other people for injuries that come walking into the flipping site. And you got this like snot-nosed freaking news anchor that's never fired a shot in anger, never stepped into a war zone in his dang life, and wants to sit there and freaking go off on this guy, knows nothing about freaking jihadists, just losing his freaking shit, speaking Hamas propaganda.
To a lot of the international agencies.
So you would have them stop to
No, I'm just saying that they are a specific
religious.
Type of agency. They're very important in places like Sudan. I've seen them on the ground.
Why are they not important in Gaza?
Oxfam, the UN, Médecins Sans Frontières, all of those people are deeply critical of what you're doing, and you're not taking it on board.
You're bringing up agencies who have literally publicly refused and let people die in the courtyard of a hospital. No one has died on our sites. We administrator aid and food, and
they're
we have not turned
just
anyone
outside.
Away. And we've delivered 120
million
meals to the people.
They're all dying just outside. They're being shot dead.
Some of those casualties, again, are from the Gaza Ministry of Health, a Hamas agency. Yeah. The IDF has trouble confirming some of those and can't confirm the numbers that you are using. And neither can we, because we have not been involved in any of those shootings.
You've also presided over a system in which people are starving to death. I mean, you can't get enough
food.
So we are
trying to give them food. So, shutting down GHF, which you seem to be advocating for. And the
I'm not advocating for anything. I'm trying to ask you why you're making such a mess of it.
Why you're making a mess of it.
How do you answer a question like that? You clearly have a point of view, and we're having a debate. You're not having an interview. We have delivered 120 million meals to people who need it.
Which is a
and
fraction of what's needed,
Nations convoys.
That is less than one meal a day for the population of Gaza.
I've said that over and over again. I have said that over and over again. We agree. We're in heated agreement that we should be doing more, and we would love to do more. We would love to work with other operations. And have you given the UN such scrutiny about why? Have you asked them why only 6.5% of 1,100 trucks made it to where they're supposed to go? Have you asked them about that? Have you asked them why there are casualties, why truck drivers are being shot?
We have an impasse here between your organization and the UN and the other aid agencies. Are you prepared to invite them in to benefit from their experience and their expertise? And then listen to them when they tell you how to change?
Absolutely. And the first thing I would say is we have had an outstanding offer to help and invitation to collaborate for weeks now. And actually, our leadership back in the United States has had meetings last week with some United Nations officials that we have described as productive. So we absolutely would collaborate. And like I was saying before, we've spoken to some of the local truck drivers where the UN and other aid organizations had left their trucks just sitting not being delivered inside Gaza. And they did ask us for our help. They said they keep getting shot at. They're worried for their lives. The aid keeps getting taken and they, you know, run back to safety. And then they asked, could you provide security? And we said, absolutely, we could, but you have to talk to your leadership. So absolutely. As hard as we've been on the UN and myself today, we would love to work with them. Again, we believe more aid is the answer. We would love to scale. And by the way, a good humanitarian organization would put itself out of business, right? So if the full need is met, if the United Nations can prove that they can fulfill the full need, which they haven't, which is why there's these issues, why we exist at all, you know, we could scale back even or become advisory or provide security. There are any number of ways we can work together with the United Nations, and we are very hopeful that we can achieve that very soon.
I mean, just on that, obviously, you know, it is not the case that the UN was unable to provide enough aid. It is the case that Israel brought in a blockade and then brought in the GHF.
Well,
they replaced the existing aid infrastructure with you guys, and you created this new unique setup, which has never been seen anywhere in the world before.
That's also not true. So we are a little different, I agree, but it's not true. As I said before, the UN has worked with armed security personnel many times in the past, Bosnia, Haiti, Congo,
Sudan. But you
are
a creation just for this setup, aren't you? I mean, you're not an existing aid agency with experience elsewhere.
That's right.
We are people that are brought in to do this.
We're an emergency food distribution system.
We still don't really know who you are.
Well, what I would say about what you said about the United Nations, their own metrics came out this week. Metrics.
Wait.
They can't get the aid where it's supposed to go. They have a 93.5% diversion rate. That's an A grade in getting your aid stolen.
That's
so
totally
it is
untrue.
Not the case.
Where's that number come from?
No, it's from the UN. The United Nations.
When you say diversion.
That dude literally said the UN's numbers aren't true. Yeah, this is a news anchor that's like screaming at this freaking dude that the UN's numbers aren't true. I've reported on the UN's numbers. I've shown that 1,000 times. I know that is a fact.
And what do you mean by diversion?
The trucks do not get to their destination. They are taken, or they are stopped, or they are attacked by desperate, hungry people.
I mean, the fact is that Gaza wasn't hungry when the UN was in charge of distributing aid. And since you've been in charge, people are starving to death.
So why was the UN needed to distribute aid if they weren't hungry? I mean, some of the things you're saying, just pure logic would say
if you knew anything about Gaza,
true.
You'd know that Gaza has been reliant on humanitarian aid for years. So the UN has been absolutely essential.
And listen, I'm not saying the UN shouldn't operate.
I get you're new to this.
Over and over again, we would love to. The people who work at the GHF are not new to this. Decades and decades of humanitarian aid in war zones like Iraq and Afghanistan, where the United Nations worked with not only militarized groups, but the United States military.
But what is your answer to the basic point?
Place in the world.
That it is only since the blockade and the introduction of the GHF that people have been starving to death.
I want to go back last year and see if this guy was complaining about famine and everything else over inside of Gaza, because you know he was. You know he was. You know he actually didn't read the like reviews from like the Famine Review Committee, and you know he was screaming that people are starving in Gaza. You know that exists. It has to exist, and yet this man is sitting here right now screaming, everything was perfectly fine until you guys showed up.
I'm being shot to death outside aid distribution points.
I would say that we are feeding people, and the United Nations should get their act together and feed people as well, because they aren't doing it. They moved 1,100 trucks and 6.5 into Gaza. 6.5% made it to their destinations. Like I said, I've spoken. I may be new at this, but I have spoken to truck drivers for the United Nations and other organizations inside Gaza who have explained to us that they get shot at and looted as soon as they start driving their trucks. And they asked us to help with security. So I think that shows you that our model works and the United Nations wasn't. That's why we're there in the first place, because the UN model didn't work. There was corruption. There was serious corruption. And the aid was getting diverted. And again, you can say it's not true, but it's literally on the United Nations website. Their own metrics say that 6.5% of 1,100 or so trucks in July alone, their record overall for the last 3 months that they've been operating is
that's since the blockade. That is since the
Correct.
Israeli blockade, when a very small proportion of trucks have been getting in. That's not the history of aid in Gaza. The history of aid in Gaza is that it was being fed by the UN system, and then it was stopped.
So Yes, and we advocated for the UN to be let in again, and they were, and they are, and they've tried to move 1,100 trucks through Gaza, and they can't do it. That's a fact. That's a fact from the United Nations website, and we will certainly
because
follow up and show you.
Because they're not controlled in the same way by Israel that you are.
We are completely independent. We are not controlled by Israel. And by the way, they have
you're
the
not
same
independent,
level.
Are you? That, it's just nonsense to say you're independent. You're working hand in glove with the Israeli authorities.
And your evidence for that is what? I mean, you keep saying that you don't have an agenda, but this isn't an interview. This is a debate. The IDF is conducting a war, and they control everyone, including the United Nations access into Gaza.
I mean, if you're so confident, will you allow independent journalists in to see your operation?
We have already, and we'll continue to be doing more of that.
Well, only under very strict restrictions.
It's a war zone, so there are certainly safety and security protocols to follow.
Well, journalists, you know, are perfectly capable of looking after their own security protocols. We do it all over the world. So, I mean,
we're perfectly capable of taking care of ourselves in Gaza. Just let us run around, man. Just let us do whatever the hell we want. Like, it'll be fine. This guy is out of his damn mind. Smokey Sergeant, the UN is so good and proficient. Ask the Rwandans and Somalians how proficient they are. This reporter needs to let go of riding the blue weenie. Dude, it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous how off this reporter was and the patience of this man. Like, if I actually do get this man on the program, I'm just going to ambush him with a clip of him just, like, talking back to this guy, like, cut after cut after cut, and be like, how did you do it, man? How did you have that much restraint? Like, how? Like, just for everybody in the audience, I didn't bring you in here to talk about Gaza and humanitarian aid. I actually brought you in here specifically to ask about self-control and how you manage to have so much of it. Like, what do you do to manage that much self-control talking to these ignorant people? Like, how the hell did you do that? Just give him one of those fake jersey petties? Oh, dude, I can't. It's hilarious, dude. 91% of you guys are saying, yeah, get him on the show. All right, I'll see what I can do. All right, I'll see what I can do. I can't move mountains, but I know people, so I'll see what I can do. They are busy people. They do have other interviews. We are a decent podcast, but at the same time, I mean, that's just ridiculous. Like, that entire interview is just so absurd. So absurd. The guy doesn't even know the UN's own numbers, and he's like telling him that that's false and it's not real when they're just publicly available. Yeah, that guy had to take a deep breath, dude. Like, you could see the vein popping out of his forehead. Like, I don't know if this guy's background. Like, I don't know if he's a former pipe hitter or what he used to do, but you can tell he doesn't like taking crap from like this freaking little like pencil neck reporter. And like, not to mention the reporter's just absolutely wrong. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'll see you guys tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, for another great episode. And if you like what you saw today and you like staying up to date on current events, please subscribe to the channel, for crying out loud. What else are you doing in your life? In the meantime, peace, love, happiness, and God bless. I am out of here.